Chief, will you open the door for us?
It's not the dog we picked up.
For achieving the rank of an Eagle Scout. Sam lives on East Country Club, goes to LaPorte High School, and I attend the National Honor Society. And Eagle Scout is, well, I think, the highest ranking available in the Boy Scouts of America program. And it's held for life. And if I understand it, we have to earn something like a 21 merit badges and do a special service project, which I understand we did with collecting and distributing articles of clothing for a Goodwill in Pasadena to help people there. And I have a proclamation that I would like to read to you. You can have my flag. Whoops. Uh-uh. The city of Shoreacre is presenting this proclamation to you, and I'd like to read it. Whereas Samuel Cordell Spanks is a resident of the city of Shoreacre, and whereas Samuel Spanks is a LaPorte High School senior and member of the National Honor Society, and whereas Samuel Banks has been a member of the Boy Scouts of America and has actively participated and sought advancement therein, and whereas in pursuit of the rank Eagle Scout, Samuel has undertaken a project with fellow scouts to collect and deliver hundreds of articles of clothing to the Goodwill industry with the goal of providing winter clothing for disadvantaged families in the greater community. And whereas on November 20th, a Boy Scouts of America Eagle Board of Review determined that Boy Scout Samuel Banks has successfully completed the requirements for the rank of Eagle Scout. And whereas on February 9th, 2013, Boy Scout Samuel Banks will be formally recognized by his Court of Honor for attaining Scout's highest rank. Now, therefore, I, Dolly Aaron, Mayor of the City of Shoreacre, do hereby congratulate and recognize Samuel Banks' contributions and accomplishments, and proclaim him to be a distinguished citizen of the City of Shoreacre.
Hold that right there. This is the way it
happens. Never an accident.
Never. Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Practice with February 9th.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations. You're all
nice,
sir.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a good evening. I hope
you
have a
good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
Moving on to item 4.0, approval of minutes. We start with October 22nd, 2012.
I'll lift them over. I'll make a motion, Bill, please.
Second. Dana, second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Regular council meeting minutes for November 12th, 2012.
Make a motion.
Second. Dana. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Regular council meeting minutes for November 26, 2012.
Make a motion to approve.
Okay, is there a second? Second. All in favor? What? Did I?
They were sent. They were all going to be sent in the secondary email?
Okay. Do you want?
I didn't have a chance to review those.
Do you want to postpone these for a week?
I would.
Okay. Unless there's Any opposition? Okay, if you call me through.
Sure.
Okay. Write down the phone.
Thank you.
Problem. Okay, so we adopted October 22nd, November 12th, and early November 26th. Item 5.0, council reports and requests. I think most of our meetings are this week. Although I have to say the turnout was really good for the Christmas pop-up. So thank you for everybody who worked so hard on providing all the food. Thank you, Annie, for all the decorations.
It looked really nice.
Yeah, good. Okay. Richard, do you have anything to report?
They had holiday dinners, LPCAC and CCAP, and CCAP did show a video that was interesting from a professor that had the past 30 years of the changing evolution of Houston and oil boom and the demographics and the ethnicities have changed tremendously. I'm going to try to get a link to that video. So it was pretty interesting. Howard was there as well.
CCAP?
Yes.
I believe that Mary Jane probably sent to us is a PDF file.
It's not a video.
Not the video.
Okay. Now, I'm going to look at the video.
We can go through a link and order or request a DVD, and I'd like to. It presented different things are changing so much. It didn't offer any solutions to the potential problems. Why did I make you? I mean, big time.
I'll see how much it costs.
How long was the video?
30 minutes. Yeah. Maybe 30 minutes
at the most.
But it was, I'd like to get a copy and take it to work.
Okay.
It impressed
me. Thank you. Okay, item 6.0 is public comments. If anyone here has any. They'd
like to say council,
now
is the time. Yeah? Okay. Item 7.0, administrative report. David? Good evening.
Good evening.
A week and a half ago, I attended a 3-day election law seminar put on by the Texas Secretary of State in Austin. With lots of information and timely. It's getting a little more complicated this time around since we have some changes in the election code. We have many changes in the election code. Some of the changes, however, have not received Department of Justice preclearance. So while there are law and on the books, we cannot act on those. And we have others that were challenged, and there are there's court action. Court orders that dictate how and when those things happen. So it gets a little more complicated, but the election season is upon us. Our next general election here for the city will be on May 11th this year. I hope to have the candidate materials ready by next week and the official notice of filing deadlines posted. By law, that notice now must be posted by December 28th. The first day to file for a place on the ballot will be a couple of weeks earlier than in the past. It will be Wednesday, January 30th. The last day to file will be on Friday, March 1st. Last week, I also attended a day-long planning for Sustainable Coastline Community Symposium at Texas A&M campus in Galveston. And the timing and the topic and the resources that were presented there were really outstanding, particularly for the city of Short Acres, as we move forward to address our erosion along Miramar. I'll be talking about that tonight, one of the other items on the agenda. And then this week I'll be attending the CLMCE Board of Directors meeting on Wednesday night. One of the decisions that we'll be making for the ambulance service is whether we're going to move into the new Webster station or not. It has no service impact on the city of Short Acres. We're served out of the Seabrook Fire Department station on Meyer, which is really Webster on the other side, more recognizable as Webster. But the administrative offices presently are in a building that are leased from the city of Webster, a building in which Webster wants to take back and use for record storage. It's their old police station and fire station just off of Highway 3. And if you've driven down Highway 3, you can see what looks like a a giant shopping strip center, which is their new fire station, which has space in it. So there's some debate as to whether or not we want to continue to rent from Webster and, or to move the administrative into the Webster's building. And so that will be resolved this week. And that's all I have on that part of the report this evening.
Okay, that's 7.1.1.
Yes.
Move on to
other items.
Mm-hmm.
David Newman, who has sat in the back of this room in the corner, not because he's in trouble sitting in the corner, but attending our meetings, has for a number of times attended here as an officer, then as acting chief of police, and tonight this is his first meeting and he's sitting there as our chief of police. He has been appointed as our new police chief, so congratulations to David Newman. Our round one street and drainage projects, which are all the streets and drainage that you've seen been, that have been going on for months and months and months. We've done a walkthrough on that. We've not gotten to the final, but we're very close to a final walkthrough and bringing that work all to a conclusion. That said, there are some additional funds that I've spoke about before from the police station, the water, two water plants, and the three lift stations. Looks like we'll have some funds that will allow us to do another block or two of street work. That would be supplemental to the same contractor. But we will be closing out this work presently that's underway. And we look forward to being able to save enough money on those other projects to do maybe another 1,500 feet of concrete pavement. So that's a very positive note. The round one wastewater lift station projects, we did a walkthrough on that about a month ago. We did final walkthrough last Friday. And so it's what we call substantial completion. That doesn't let them off the hook for making any corrections or fixing anything that isn't quite right. But it does allow them to move forward and get their final payment, less retainage, and then we'll still have that. Those lift stations, which are there three, the main lift station was a complete rebuild. It's down by the river tracks. The one that is by Taylor Bio that was involved in the automobile accident, that damage has been fully repaired. That was repaired by the contractor using their builder's risk policy. So no city insurance or city funds were used in repairing that accident damage. And that was a controls plant rebuild. And also there, you'll notice a post and an arm that hangs out over the bio. We have our own stream gauge there now, so we're not relying on Harris County's unreliable stream gauge, which is on the bridge. We'll have our own, which will also help us with wastewater in that we do have from time to time inflow and infiltration issues, which is where tidal water gets into our wastewater stream. And when we have the SCADA up and running, we'll be able to detect that and head that off quickly. That's a very big positive for us. The third lift station is between Sunrise and Westview. That one was a rehabilitation. It was more work than done by Taylor Bio, but it wasn't a complete rebuild like the railroad tracks. All new controls, all new electrical, all new pumps, everything except for the dry well. The wet well has been relined and raised, so we're now at the elevation that we want to be. The only thing that hasn't been taken for a test drive is the SCADA, because that's dependent on water plant number one, which is the control station. And so when that's done, then we'll be able to tie it all together. But all the equipment is installed and has been tested to the extent that it is functional. It's not programmed, because the programming will be dependent on water plant one. The next item on the agenda is the FEMA, National Flood Insurance Program's Community Rating Application. I had reported to council previously that we were back on track with that. We now have our mitigation plan in place and started that process this week on Wednesday. Yes, Wednesday, we will have someone from FEMA here at ISO. And we've already made the application. They'll be coming in validating the information we put on the application. and we'll again start that process. We're going to also have what's called a CAV, which is a community assistance visit, that's done by the state, the state's SLED folks, which the state has assigned that to the Texas Water Development Board. So we'll have someone here from the Texas Water Development Board, which will do the state portion of that. And we hope to have our application in January, which means that we will get to do that under the existing terms of participation. As we know, in 2013, they're revising the criteria, and it will be changing. Not that we couldn't do that, but it does require a duplication of effort that we've previously done. So we want to get under this current one, and then we can evolve into the new one. 7.1.5, Coastal Impact Assistance Program. In your packet is the letter received from the Department of Interior. This is the Coastal Impact Assistance Program we've been talking about for years and years and years. We made the short list. We got the nod from the state. It runs to the General Land Office. And then they take all of that and they forward it to the federal review. And this is the good letter that says that the $250,000 has been approved for funding. This is a design engineering permit award that will let us do everything that's necessary to go out for bids for the coastal erosion project. This is something that was scoped and a study was done, and we had community outreach, we had meetings, and we took public comment on what they wanted to see and how they wanted to do it, and this will all be based off of that. And it's a two-year grant window. I project that about 8 months of that will be design and engineering, and the entire balance will be permits. And it will probably take the entire 2 years to get the list of permits, since we're talking about title and water and a number of issues that we'll have to interface with the Army Corps of Engineers and the GLO and the EPA, mostly the Fish and Wildlife Service of the Department of Interior, as to what we're going to do there. That said, having attended the symposium last week was just a big windfall for us, and that I was able to elicit some assistance from the Nature Conservancy. The director of their coastal erosion program was presenting at the symposium, took an interest in our project, having done one similar to it in Alabama. And that professor is based out of University of California. Big difference. University of California, Santa Cruz. And so that was very fortuitous for us. So it looks like we are going to have some assistance there. It is an engineering assistance. It's actually much more valuable to us because they will help us identify the project and couch it where it is better in place for getting the follow-on funding for construction. They will help us to define the beneficial impact, how our barrier will assist with accretion as opposed to erosion. It will become a habitat, and they have the science to document that in a form that will readily be understood by those who are reviewing the grant applications. So that's a big, big plus. The FEMA 2012 Community Resilience Innovation Challenge. This is a grant that we're participating with the University of Houston, Clear Lake, and Houston-Galveston Area Council that I had also previously visited with you about, that we were to hear by the end of November. It was on a very fast track. It's being handed out of an institute in Los Angeles. It's a national grant. And they were overwhelmed. They had over 2,000 applications for funding. And so they've extended the period of time, not for applicants, but for review. And they're pushing hard to get that done by the end of December. I still think we're very much in the running for that. Should we get that grant, the University of Houston get that grant, they will be providing a graduate student to document the practices and procedures of the city of Shore Acres as a best practices, and to look at refinements of that, turn that into a formidable document, and then go to a neighboring community and replicate that there as pre disaster. So that's a feather in our cap, and it will also assist us greatly in bringing the level of what we have into a better documented form and making some improvements, which will stand us well in the next event, whenever that happens, because there'll be some event in the future. That is my complete report.
Thank you. Item 7.2, Police Department Monthly Activity Report.
Unless you have your copy in front of you?
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know if you wanted to present it or just entertain questions.
I'm just going to entertain questions.
Okay.
The woman in the school bus?
Well, actually, let me read, since I don't know that the... You don't have a copy of this, do you? Public? Okay. The crime report, there have been several daytime residential burglaries. In the majority of the cases, the doors were left unlocked and the alarms not set. We are urging all residents that when they leave the house to make sure that it's secure and the alarm is set. On November 15th, Shore Acres assisted the Ford officers in arresting a woman who fled after striking a school bus. A pursuit ensued, which ended in Seabrook. Personnel, the open position in the police department is in the process of being filled. An excellent candidate was selected and he should be starting before the end of the year. Traffic enforcement officers are continuing to monitor traffic on Highway 146. 32 citations for speeding were issued in November. Okay, so you had a question?
Yeah, curious about the woman in the school bus.
She struck the school bus over off Fairmont. An officer saw the accident. She stopped and went up. He approached her to talk about the accident. Said he drove off. Said she drove off. He jumped in the car, tried to stop her, chased and sued down 146 before requesting assistance from us. We got involved in the pursuit, chased her into Seabrook, got her by the Kroger store, where she tried to cut through a gas station and got hung up on the wall back there. She then jumped out of the vehicle and tried to run and was apprehended as she tried to run back out onto the highway, back down to 146 out there. We determined that she probably fled because she didn't have a driver's license and quite a few outstanding warrants for her arrest, including a family violence warrant out of California.
Wow.
So
she just
rear-ended
the school bus?
Basically, yes, ma'am. Yes, she did. That's all. On the candidate position, that person, that gentleman comes in tomorrow for his psychological exam, and that is completed everything else.
Now, does that fill the position that was vacated?
Yes, sir, it does. Okay.
Okay, Dee, would you
Yeah, real quick, I'll do that.
Police
Animal calls went from 2 in October to 6, and assaults went from 0 to 2. And suspicious persons' vehicles went from 9 to 12. Thefts, burglaries 2 to 6. So I guess the thefts, burglaries is the house, the houses that were left open and alarms not on.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any questions on the police report?
What area of town was the burglary?
They were on the far west side of the city.
Yes, they were along South Country Club area.
Dan?
Do we ask why people leave their homes unlocked and their alarms not on?
I can tell you why that happens to me from time to time. I forget to close the garage door when I'm backing out and I go pick my kids up or something. Or... getting older, man.
And your hair's not even white yet.
It's getting there. But
I have a tendency of believing that the community here is of such a caliber that one does not fear to leave them unlocked. It happens like that in the country out where I used to live, where people leave their keys in their vehicles, and I'm not joking about that. It was a very safe neighborhood, and Shore Acres has that same feel about it. I've occasionally left my doors open from time to time.
No longer do that.
Well, I'm not trying to broadcast that.
You're absolutely right. I mean, I put a lock on my kitchen door that when you shut, it automatically locks because otherwise, so I had to foil myself, but yeah, it's just being too trusting for the most part. I mean, it's
I've seen a lot more presence with the police department out and about in the 2 years that I've lived here than I have anywhere else, and that also is another reassuring factor. So that's part of that equation, I suspect.
No,
you're right. Yeah. Times are changing. Okay, next item, 7.3, Public Works Utilities Department Monthly Activity Report. Are there any questions on this? Or David, did you have anything you wanted to?
I would mention that the recycling move to Tuesday has been very successful. We've seen some increase in recycling material, less conflict and issues, and more manageable overtime for us, not having to be on the weekend. That's all the good side of recycling. The bad side of recycling is that we had a mishap this last week returning from the recycling center with our trailer. The truck going through the intersection of Fairmont and Bay Area Boulevard hit a pothole, and it flipped the trailer, and the trailer came off the ball. It was a bulldog hitch, and the hitch remained closed, but it did come off the ball, and it broke both of the safety chains, and the trailer careened across and struck another truck. I suppose if it has to hit another truck, and the best would be if it was one of our trucks, which it wasn't, but it was a City of Pasadena truck. It hit the pickup truck behind the cab, no injuries, but hitting it behind the cab, even empty, the trailer has a lot of mass. It removed the rear end and axle from the truck, so it did total their truck. No one was injured, no. Our truck was completely out of the accident. It was just our trailer and the Pasadena truck. They tried to avoid it and headed for the ditch, but it got them before they got there. It did minimal damage to our trailer. The damage to the trailer is just in some of the superstructure on the front, and it's usable, and we're going to use it for the two collections that we have before we hit Christmas, New Year's break. We have two back-to-back Tuesdays where there'll be no recycling pickup because of Christmas and because of New Year's. So during that period of time, we're going to repair the trailer and put it back into shape. We looked at not having recycling one time before that, but we're going to have a real heavy recycling in January following the two offs, and so we elected not to miss any, which is to make do with what we have, and then we'll go back and do that.
What precautions do we have on that trailer?
Yes, we're revisiting that. The trailer does not have electric brakes. While it's heavy, it's light enough that it wouldn't be required to have the electric brakes, which means that you don't have a battery and a dead man switch that would lock the brakes up if it came disconnected from the vehicle, which is what you'd ideally like to have. So we're revisiting the safety chain and the way that it's attached, and we may change the hitch on that so that we don't have that problem again.
You said it slipped off the ball?
Yes.
And it was attached?
Yes.
I was going to say, I've got bulldog hitches on several trailers, and I've found them to be the preferred hitch, to be told. I'm wondering, was the ball size correct on the truck?
Yes, it was The accident was worked by La Porte Police Department, but we had Pasadena, Port, and Short Acres, all three there. We had numerous photographs taken immediately post-accident, and the bulldog was still had the collar fully up, and the ball size and the hitch size were checked, and they checked out to be his...
Have we contacted Bulldog at all?
So, anyhow, it was unfortunate. Fortunately, no one got hurt, and we'll... I don't know if Pasadena has TML, but I have a feeling it's going to be all in the family on the insurance as well. So I would rather have nice things to report, but I'll put that in there.
There was no negligence associated with it. It happens.
We can't survive.
Mm-hmm. On that intersection, that asphalt builds up from the trucks putting the brakes on, big lumps.
Something for a significant amount of water repairs this last month.
Yes, that is true.
And the backfills were a part of that, I'm
assuming? Yeah, we really have no explanation for that. We haven't had any pressure issues. We haven't had any valving issues. And we haven't had any drought where we expect earth movement. Virtually all of those are... the asbestos concrete pipe, which is very fragile, and it's typically what we would see with an earth movement. So there must be some type of ground movement that's occurring, but we've had an extraordinarily large number. And because it is that pipe, it is the larger pipes and not the smaller backyard pipes. We've only had about 2-3 inch pipes with minor leaks in the back.
Any questions? Item 8.0, business consideration and approval of invoices. Do you have a chance to look on you, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. I will entertain a motion to go.
Motion to approve the invoices.
Second.
Okay, and I need a motion. That second, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.2, discussion of the Planning and Zoning Commission report and recommendation to City Council on amending residential garage requirements for houses elevated on piers. David?
Yes, at the request of City Council, Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the proposed ordinance in the residential garage requirements. The Commission met on November 19th. At the meeting, it was noticed and had a quorum. They had a public hearing that took testimony. It was published in the Houston Chronicle. They, by unanimous vote, adopted a report and recommendation, which is in your packet. They made some modifications to the recommended modifications to the draft ordinance that was provided. A copy of that is attached to it in your packet. It's a very simple, short ordinance. Of course, only the underlying portions are new. That's one section. To that, which provides a limited exception to the current requirement of a fully enclosed garage, which is interpreted as basically a freestanding or attached enclosed garage. You can see the content of that. It tracks largely the proposed ordinance, and that it has a percentage of opacity for that, which allows you to use screening as opposed to solid walls. It retains the requirement of the concrete slab. It retains the 7-foot height. So the changes are fairly minor. The next step here is to just accept the report and recommendation, which is not an endorsement of the report and recommendation, just that you have received it. Then the next item on the agenda would be to move forward with a public hearing if you so desire. And the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission is with us this evening if you have any questions for Mr. Schmidt.
Are there any questions from council before we accept the report? Okay, hearing none.
there a second?
A second.
Thanks, Dana. Seconded by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 8.3 is consideration and discussion to set the time and date for public hearing on the proposed zoning regulation limit to the residential garage requirement. And I anticipate that at that time we will have Wayne Newman here to, and I'll stand if you could be here too, to discuss the contents of the recommendation. And then we can banter it about, see if we want to accept it as is, change it, whatever. But I guess we need to keep it. David, we're looking at January, right?
We're looking at January 14th, which is a regular council meeting. It'll be the next council meeting, which is a long ways from now.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do we have any motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is that a word for you, Steve? Okay. Item 8.4, report and discussion relating to the first Monday heavy pickup program. David?
Just catching up here on the paperwork. Okay. In your packet is a memorandum that follows one from 2 weeks ago. And our dreams came true. On the first Monday of December, with Allied Waste in my pocket. Allied Waste was able to, in one day, pick up all of curbside heavy recycling. They knew that was our goal and our intent, and they hustled it up. They came early. They stayed late. They put more in the trucks than really was the truck capacity. But they did, in 8 hours, take 3 loads out, 18 tons, and the cost of that is $1,500. Which puts us this is almost $200 below the remaining balance average we had after we had expended 25% of our annual funds in November. I expect that the next heavy pickup will have lots of Christmas trees and packing boxes, fortunately all of which is fairly light and is mostly volume as opposed to the density. They'll probably use a rear loader for that pickup, as opposed to a grapple truck. We don't anticipate getting a lot of heavy yard waste on that pickup. And I think that we're on track to stay within budget. So that is the report.
That's good news.
It certainly is.
That we were working.
It looks like we're on track. We were hoping for.
Yeah, we built up a little bit of a reserve for that aging.
Okay. You know, one thing that the first time I mentioned is that the first time I charge is more than I can. If there's a certain amount that you do not know, do not recall that again, but if it's larger than 10 by 10, they will charge you. They will only take that. Charge you. Good information. Okay, item 8.5, consideration and approval of resolution number 2012-21, appointing authorized signatories for Hurricane Ike disaster recovery community skeleton block grant.
Program, Round 2.2, under Texas General Land Office contract. David?
Yeah, I know this is really boring, really boring boilerplate legal preparation, but it really deserves a woo-hoo, because this means that the money's coming for Round 2.2, which is our new water main, which will run from the water plant down Shoreacres Boulevard to Sunrise and turn and go down to Oakdale, providing us with some additional fire hydrants and moving a lot more water capacity to the east end of town, which is, of course, been Council's goal now for a while. We have the engineering work complete, which you may recall we put all of the grant money into the actual materials and construction costs, and the city funded the engineering. So we funded that last year. That's complete. There's a small portion that's remaining this year, and will be project management, but we're getting an awful lot of bang for our buck. And this will, the rules have all changed between round one and round 2.2, as one might expect. And now we have to declare who can sign the documents and be limited to that. And this will allow myself and the mayor pro tem to do that. As we did in round one, it was the mayor and I, so we've added one more layer of depth since there's no latitude for any other changes. And that's all there is to it.
Any questions? Okay, I will entertain a motion. Is there a second? Second. Motion by Dana, second by Matt. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. And that concludes our agenda. Meeting is adjourned at 7:44 p.m.